And you're listening to Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM. I am here with my co-host, Ron.
Good morning, Fran.
Yeah. So we're going to be here for the next hour giving you all sorts of information about health and natural medicine. And we would love for you to participate. Do call us. The number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. That's and you can text us at that same number, 860-486-9487. And you can email us at radionaturopath@gmail.com. So what's going on in the world of health?
That's a good question. What is going on in the world of health? I'm not, like, overly healthy. That's one thing. Aww. I caught a summer cold.
Yeah, we got
what
those. What
is with that?
It happens.
No. No, it's not supposed to happen.
But it did.
It's nice. I'm not supposed to get a cold.
Okay, let's talk about this. Why do you think you got the cold?
Because it found me.
How did it find you?
Oh, my immune system's probably run down a little bit because I'm riding my bike a lot and working out a lot and teaching a lot of classes and running ragged. And I'm sure that's probably it, right?
How, are you getting enough rest?
That's a debatable point.
Is rest a thing you do?
I try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see you trying.
Mm. Well, I have to go rest to the phone here.
Okay. So. I would say that in this relationship, I'm the one who does the power laying about. I'm the one who gets more rest. And I also naturally need more sleep than Ron does, so I tend to sleep more. And it's true. I have been seeing the summer cold going around. Why would you think that people would get a cold in June? Well, I mean, some of the things that are effective in the cold and flu season are still effective now. People are still gang housed. The kids only just got out of school, so as long as they're still gang housed, they still could be passing viruses around, which they're going to send home to their parents, which anyone who is around someone who gets in contact with kids, which is most of us, you're prone to get it. And Ron is out in the community. He works in he has kind of a stressful job between going to vendors and being a, you know, doing all the sales that he does and traveling and visiting with different people and shaking their hands because he has to shake people's hands a lot. And then he has been teaching a lot of spin classes. During the course of a week, he's teaching, I don't know, 9 classes. I'll have to ask him. But so he's teaching a lot and he's probably just not getting a lot of downtime. He's pushing himself a lot. And on the weekends, we ride our bikes long. So he's just not getting the downtime. So a virus was around and it found him. And the thing is, he's not the only one. In my practice, I have been seeing people coming in with a cold in the last month, you know, in late May and June and now. I mean, people in the last week, they've been coming in with it. And even the extra sunlight and the extra produce, I think that people's summer activities haven't found them yet. So they're still coming off of the winter. But this seems to be something that's happening more, that there's a run of colds that happens in late May and into June that I see. And I got one last year. Usually I think if I get sick this time of year, it's because I have Lyme disease, and that's what happened 10 years ago, but I can't use that excuse anymore. And I've just been seeing so many people having it happen to, and a lot of people are getting a bronchitis as well. And the interesting thing about these colds and these bronchitis is they seem to hang around for a good 2 weeks. People are not clear of all of the symptoms for a decent amount of time. And I just wonder if people are just not resting enough and they just haven't gotten into, they haven't figured out that produce is a thing yet and that it's something that they could, that's something they could eat, that the farmer's markets are open, that there's a lot of leafy greens available. People who don't necessarily go to farmer's markets and who garden are out there gardening and the stuff hasn't come in yet.
Right.
That some of the stuff hasn't come in yet. Some of the greens may have come in yet, but a lot of people's gardens, people are still putting their gardens in.
Yeah, lots of greens are in, though. If you are diligent and you planted your seeds in the wintertime and you had all these little seed trays and all that, you know, that fancy stuff.
Yeah, not everybody does that.
Yeah, not everybody does that. Not everybody, but
no.
I just got the cure for the common cold over the phone.
Excellent. What is it?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Chicken soup.
A
little bit of white wine.
Of course.
And 2 weeks in Maui.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, chicken soup a little. I think you could do with or without the white wine, but the 2 weeks in Maui. Two weeks in Maui, and you could approximate Maui at home if you could stop working. You know,
I mean, you have to put a padlock on the office door.
The biggest cure for a cold is the same as that thing that makes you fast on your bicycle. It's the exact same thing.
The R word.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The R word.
Rest.
The R word isn't race, by the way. It's rest.
It is rest.
Mm.
Yes. Well, getting fast on your bicycle. I was reading Celine Yeager, and I love Celine Yeager. So Celine Yeager, holla! She is one of my favorite cycling and fitness writers.
Okay.
And Celine, I was just reading an article by Celine Yeager. She says, work out at the extremes. So once a week, go so hard that your eyes bleed.
Oh, lovely.
And then other days, ride really slow.
Right.
She suggests doing exactly what I'm doing now. Yeah, one day long, one day really hard, maybe an interval, and lots of really slow.
And so how's that working for you?
It's good.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's good. It was hard to go as fast today as it was maybe last week, but I also chose to ride in the morning.
Right, you don't do mornings.
I don't do mornings as well.
You're not good with mornings.
Not as awake yet.
Yeah, you and mornings are not a good idea.
But if I wanted to get outside on my bike, this morning was the time to do it because there's some weather predicted for the afternoon.
There could be.
Yes. Right. So and this evening, I am not available to ride my bicycle because I will be enlightening the people.
Okay, that's right. You're doing a talk tonight at the community center, aren't you?
Yes, the Mansfield Community Center.
Yes, yes, I saw that. There's a big signboard up in the community center, which has been up for a few weeks now.
Terrific. It's from 6:30 to 7:30, and I'll be speaking about menopause.
Yes, Dr. Fran is going to talk about menopause.
Right.
So that should be a very interesting topic for lots of people, I'm
sure. Yeah.
Anyone who's either approaching or in the middle of it or on their way out would probably... Or just interested in it.
And you can even be a guy.
You could be a guy. As a matter of fact, probably not a bad idea to kind of get an overall picture.
Right.
From a woman's perspective.
Absolutely.
As to what's going on.
What we go through.
If you want to know more about what's going on, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And it's a great time for me to be talking about menopause.
Yeah, that's true, because you're kind of in the midst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think I was that old, but I am.
You're not that old.
Do I seem old?
Oh, you're young.
I know, but I have menopause.
Franny, you'll always be younger than me.
Yeah, it's true. It's all true.
I've got a head start on you.
Yeah, you had a head start.
Right, I have a head start.
So anyway, this summer cold. So, the thing is, I like to think it's easier to get over the summer cold because you're not battling the cold weather. The only thing is I think people are sensitive to the wacky changes in the weather. And we've got weather that's going – we've got summer weather coming. And then today last night we had a lot of rain. Today we're not going to see 70 degrees supposedly. And we're going to see some rain today. And tonight it's going to get into the 40s.
It was fallout this morning.
Yes, it was fallout.
It was like fall-like. It was very it was, the air is really crisp and clear, and the sky was blue.
Tomorrow, if you like that, if you think it was like fall this morning, wait till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning's going to be even cooler.
Yikes. And we saw a baby deer this morning.
Oh, that's nice.
Like a little tiny one that could barely stand up.
Aw. Oh, on your walk.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, and there a couple of guys had stopped, and they're trying to help it. And then
it was alone?
Then we heard the huh. You know, have you ever heard of mama deer when she gets mad?
No.
They pant. They make a like a huh noise to it. They really they're not growling at you, but they certainly are making a noise to let you know that you should not be anywhere near that baby.
No kidding.
But the mama was on the other side of the road, and the baby was on. So anyway.
They were trying for the mother and child reunion.
Yeah, we were going to pick it up and bring it over to the mother on the other side. And then the mother just ran across the road and got right near us and then hoofed us again. Gave us a bit of hoof.
Stay away.
Yeah, they
really. My baby.
Yeah, and so we just let it go and off they went. And that was fine. Baby looked like it was a little injured.
Aww.
And a little, but this thing, It couldn't have been more than a week old at the most. Aww. It was very tiny.
So if you get this summer cold, like I said, the best thing to do is rest. As much as you can turn off your life and go to bed and lie about, that's the best thing, really. And it's very simple. The same hormones that run your fight or flight run your immune system. So if you use them to go and do stuff, they're not going to be as available to run your immune system. These are the very things that run your white blood cells, that cause your white blood cells to have chemotaxis and to go after the viruses and to kill any bacteria that's around. So if you rest and sleep, that's really good for you. The very, very basic things. Drinking lots of water. Why is it good to drink lots of water? Because you need the water as a substrate for your mucus. The thinner your mucus is, the easier it is to expel, and the more mucus you will have to get rid of the battlefield, all those white blood cells going after the viruses and the bacteria in your body. There is another reason why I think summer colds happen, and that's allergies. The pollen has been ridiculous, and I think that the pollen dump, I would think the pollen dump happens in early June, but it started in May this year. I mean, pollen is so thick that that you could, you know, you touch your car and your hand is yellow.
Take a look. Why? We had a mild spring. Mild winter, yeah. And so, you know, spring got started just a hair earlier.
Very early. So you had the pollen around, and even if people don't have allergies, you can't... You can't get away from the fact that there's these little particulates that are that you're breathing in, and so even if you're not allergic to them, you're getting particles in your nose. And one of the things that irritates your nose and makes your nose run. So I was reading this too about how, did you ever notice? It's a really common problem if you're a cyclist, or even if you're a runner, and you run or cycle outside. Your nose runs. That's just a thing. In fact, cycling gloves have little terry cloth pads on them so you can wipe your nose. And that's kind of a funny thing. What's your preference in getting rid of your nasal mucus? Are you a hawker? Are you a spitter? Are you a, you know, lean over your bike and snort it out?
Oh,
are
goodness.
You a do you wipe it on your sleeve? Do you wipe it on your do you wipe it on the terry cloth pad on your glove? Some people are very delicate, and they keep a bandana for such purpose, and they pull it out, and they wipe their nose.
Okay.
That wouldn't be me.
No.
No.
Not I.
No, I'm the hand on the cycling glove.
That works, too. And then there's the, if you have some talent to it and some volume, you can just...
snort it out. Right.
Just put one finger over the other nostril.
And you snort it out.
I can't believe we're talking about this on the radio.
The thing is, it's vasomotor rhinitis.
Mm.
Your nose becomes inflamed when you're exercising. And so I was reading Celine Yeager again. And she was talking about why that happens. And there's different reasons why they think it happens. One reason I think it happens is because you're outside and you're breathing very hard and you're getting a high volume of air through. And so that's irritating to your nasal passages and your respiratory passages. So you're going to make more mucus. Your body's going to respond by making mucus to protect the surfaces of your nasal lining. But think about it. When you're indoors in spin class, it doesn't happen as much. You don't get a runny nose as much indoors.
Okay.
Do you think you do?
I do when I'm
working very hard.
Yeah.
Well, when you're sick, but not. Yeah. What about when you're not sick?
When I'm not sick, no. No,
right, that's what I'm saying. Indoors, you even if you're working hard, you tend not. I never thought about that before. It really doesn't happen indoors. And so she suggested that it's because of pollution. It's the stuff that's in the air. So even if you're not allergic to pollen, meaning that the pollen gets into your nose and you're making immune globulin E antibodies, you're still getting a mechanical irritation. There's something in your nose, and your body's not going to like that. So it's just going to have a localized reaction where it produces more mucus to keep that thing off the surface of the lining of your nose. And also the particulates that are in the air from pollution. If you're riding on a road, there's going to be pollution in the air, and there's pollution in the air just from China, from factories, from cars, from all sorts of stuff. So you're going to see that sort of thing. And so you're going to get more of that allergic rhinitis. Now, mind you, even if you're not exercising outside, the level of pollen that's in the air is inordinate. So if you do have respiratory allergies to tree pollen, you're going to make more mucus because of that. Even if you don't, between the extra tree pollen and the pollution and all the other stuff that's in the air, your nose is going to be boggier. If your nose is boggier and not so dry, a virus comes walking along and it goes, hey, this is a nice bed. I'm going to sleep there, right? So it sets up shop. So you're more likely to get a cold if you have allergies. And you're more likely to get a cold if there's global warming because there's more pollution. Pollution and global warming go together, and because there's more pollen. So that's part of what's going on. And you are allergic to the tree pollen, are you not?
I am. But right now, apparently, according to the chart, it looks like it's grass pollen today.
Is that right? Grass pollen already?
Grass pollen. Early for grass pollen? Is high today, high tomorrow, and on Friday and Saturday, it's going to be very high.
No kidding. Yep. Wow.
That's what's going on.
Did not know that.
I think we're kind of through the trees.
I don't think so.
No?
There's still some tree pollen. I still see it on my car.
It's not even registering here.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I mean, I'm on the national weather thing here.
Right. Hmm. Well, anyway, so I think that's part of why the summer colds happen. And the thing is, as we get into the summer, people slow down. People go on vacation. And people, not everybody, unfortunately, but a lot of people start to eat more produce. And when they start eating more fresh produce, at local produce, you're less likely to get sick because of all the wonderful nutrients that are in that produce. Although eating fresh produce didn't help you.
No.
No, but you were going a million miles a minute. And the fortunate thing is you're gonna stop teaching so many classes in a week or two, right?
Yeah, it's real close. Yeah, two weeks. I'll be done.
That's nice. And then you'll at least that part of you will be more rested, but this is your busy time of year.
Right. Yeah. Which brings us to the that John Jackman ride is coming up too in 2 weeks, which is nice. I could talk about that a little later.
Yeah, you should talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
Do that. So if you've got that summer cold, if you tried everything and you still got the summer cold anyway, I am really liking, I have an Echinacea, there's a couple of throat sprays that I have. There's an Echinacea Golden Seal throat spray, and then I have a Propolis Astragalus throat spray. It's a throat spray that's got Echinacea in it and a bunch of other herbs, and Propolis is one of the things that are in it. And I love Propolis. Propolis is bee resin.
Okay.
So bees are really cool.
Yeah, they are.
Bees make all sorts of stuff. We would die without bees. We wouldn't have plants.
I know. We wouldn't have plants.
But we also wouldn't have honey.
Right.
And that would be sad because I love
honey.
That
would be very
sad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And the thing about honey is really cool because depending where honey is collected and depending what the bees were collecting, you get different personalities of different honeys.
Mm-hmm.
And the local Mansfield honey is spanking this year.
Anyway,
yes, really good, really dark, rich honey. This honey is almost black. It's so good. And so if your honey is dark, that's a good thing because it's got more flavonoids in it.
Of course.
More anti-inflammatory.
There you go.
Right. And more anti-inflammatory compounds,
like everything
more immune compounds.
Like dark leafy greens, like dark fruits, like all the
dark
stuff.
Berries, your berries and cherries.
Dark
absolutely.
Chocolate.
Dark chocolate. You got it.
Yeah.
Yes. All set. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's going to Panama next week.
Really?
Yes.
What are they going to Panama for?
Because Meredith's there. Well, Meredith's doing something down there. Anyway, without getting too much into it, there's a family of our friends who are going to Panama to see Meredith.
Okay, I was going to say.
Which we're very excited about.
Okay.
But anyway, I mentioned Panama because Panama is a place where there's a blue zone. And a blue zone is a place where there are a high proportion of centenarians. People have lived 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
So part of it is the lifestyle, but part of it is the chocolate.
Mm.
They do raw organic cocoa most days.
There's one of those in southern Italy, too.
I think so. It's probably a produce thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's one in Russia somewhere.
That's right. It's probably a kefir or a yogurt thing.
Yeah, they say it's the vodka thing, but I don't know if that's true.
That's fine. It's probably in every case it's a lifestyle thing, but there's usually some twist to it. And in Panama it's the chocolate, in Loma Linda, California, it's the soil because they have incredibly rich soil there. So their produce is really terrific.
You know where we have an incredibly rich soil near us?
Near us?
Yeah.
No kidding.
The Connecticut River Valley.
Yeah.
Like incredibly rich soil. You know what we plant there?
Tobacco.
And houses.
And houses.
And malls.
Oh.
It's really a shame. It's some of the best soil in the U.S.
There are farms there, too.
There are, but not as many as there are houses.
Oh.
It's really a shame. It's really a terrible thing.
Why do you have to tell me this stuff?
The five blue zones are as follows. The Italian island of Sardinia.
Sardinia.
Yeah.
They eat sardines
there. Okinawa, Japan.
That's right, because they eat produce and they drink green tea.
Loma Linda, California.
Those, they have really rich, delicious soil to grow wonderful produce in.
Costa Rica's isolated Nicoya Peninsula.
Oh, so it's Costa Rica. Maybe it's Costa Rica, not Panama. I thought it was Panama. But they eat chocolate there. And they also have terrific produce.
And there's a place called Icaria, which is an isolated Greek island.
Oh, where Icarus is from.
Those are the five top ones.
Yeah, I think there's more, though. I thought there was Panama.
Yeah, there are blue zones all over the world.
Okay.
I'm looking.
There's not one in Panama?
I don't know yet.
Oh, I thought there was, because the Panama thing was the chocolate.
And of course, this is a funny thing, because it says...
Yeah,
you know,
there is.
Let's cut to the chase.
It's okay. Santa Catalina, Panama.
It's lifestyle, stupid. It's all about lifestyle.
Mostly it's lifestyle. That's true. All right. So if you've got that summer cold, one of the things I wanted to mention, clean your nose out. If you clean your nose out... Whether you're trying to get kill the viruses, whether you're trying to clear out the pollen, the mucus, the muck, the pollution, cleaning your nose out is a great thing. And if you see that all of a sudden everybody around you is getting sick, it's time to do a neti pot. Whether you do a neti pot, whether you do nasal sprays, and I'm not talking Flonase, I'm talking about saline nasal spray, or you can get nasal sprays that have nice things in them, like xylitol, which will kill microorganisms. And you can, if you don't want to do a spray or a neti pot, you can just use a Q-tip and swab out your nose. But that's a really good thing to do. And then also gargle. And you can gargle very simply with just sea salt. You can gargle very simply with just sea salt and a drop of tea tree oil. You can gargle with a product that you get from the health food store if you want to, a mouthwash that has essential oils in it. That's fine too. But if you start doing that, around the summer cold season, you might not catch it because I have not caught Ron's cold and I'm hoping not to. And I've been doing neti pots at least twice a day and taking the Echinacea, golden seal throat spray and sometimes the propolis throat spray and, taking extra Eleuthero and elder syrup. Those are good things to take. I've been encouraging Ron. He's been drinking ginger tea, so he makes his very strong ginger tea, and that's going to help. It's a great anti-inflammatory, and it's going to help his cough if he gets it. And if you've got the bronchitis, then it's a really good idea to do that ginger, because the ginger is going to really be a great anti-inflammatory for your cough. Red clover is also a really good anti-inflammatory for cough. You make red clover tea and you drink that. And honey is great for your cough. So rest, rest, rest. Drink lots of fluids, clean your nose out. And if you do get sick and you do neti pots regularly, I am convinced if you do the neti pot regularly or at least clean your nose out with nasal spray, saline nasal spray or a bulb syringe or use the Q-tip, you're not going to be sick for as long. That's what happens for me. It just it clears out nicely and you're clearing out the residue. So you're just not... You don't have that thick stuck mucus at the very end. It's a really good thing. And if you're doing a neti pot, you're going to be getting rid of all those particles that are in the air as well. So I wanted to tell you about that. Okay, so Ron is on the phone, and we'll get to Ron when he gets back. The next thing I wanted to talk about for a minute was I wanted to talk about the importance of resistance training. Resistance training is really, it's, if you're interested in fat loss, one of the things to do is to increase your metabolism. And it's true, it isn't necessary to go long to do lots and lots of hours of exercise. If the exercise that you're doing, if you have a lot of, if you do use a lot of intensity. So short, intense bursts. I think it's a good idea, basically, to go long one day a week, pretty much. If you go two, maybe that's okay. But one day a week is plenty to go long. And the rest of the week, you do shorter stuff and make sure you get rest. So it's like Celine Yeager says, one day a week, you go so hard that your eyes hurt. And then one day a week, you go long, whatever long is for you. So if you can barely make it through a 20-minute walk, a one-hour walk is a long walk for you, you know, depending. So long is relative. It all depends on what you are able to do. So don't think that you have to go 5 hours if that's not something you can possibly do.
No.
But on the other hand, if you're me, 5 hours is not unreasonable.
Right.
But I would only do that one day a week at this point. And I'm finding that I'm more fit and I'm healthier and I can maintain a better weight if I follow this plan. And so it's not about going long. It's about pushing yourself sometimes and making sure you get rest other times. If you're in go, go, go mode all the time in the course of your life, that's going to make it harder for you to be at your happy weight. If you are, if you work out, if you are somebody who is committed to working out and all you do is work out at a moderate to moderate high intensity every single time you work out, that's a good recipe for weight gain because you keep your cortisol high. You've got your fight or flight elevated, and fight or flight will put sugar into your blood, and you're going to wind up storing that as fat.
I'm perusing here, trying to find places like Sardinia, Italy, and the secret behind it. So this goes with segues into what you're doing.
Yes.
For almost 150 years, members of this isolated mountainous Mediterranean region have lived as farmers and shepherds, getting cardio and musculoskeletal benefits from walking 5 miles every day.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go so walk 5 miles every day.
So that's the other thing. And, you know, not everybody does that.
Right.
So
because
if you walk,
5 miles is going to be, you know, over an hour of walking.
That's
it's
right.
It's going to be, you know, if you're really moving, if you're really moving along, you'll probably do 4 miles in an hour.
Right.
So if you're doing 5 miles, you're probably walking, and if you're not really moving, you're still going to be out for an hour and a half.
If they're walking 5 miles, though, they're just doing it in the course of their daily activities. And that's
correct.
The other thing.
And they're picking things up, and they're carrying things, and they're doing, you know.
It's not just the walking.
Physical work, right?
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, people come in, and they're farmers. I don't tell them to exercise, because they are.
Yeah, right. They're doing it every day, right?
That's right. And, you know, it depends on what people are doing. It's silly to tell somebody who labors for a living to exercise, because they are. And yet, sometimes I will see people who labor for a living, and they're like, Doc, I'm overweight. What should I do? So then you have to question how hard they're working for their exercise. And, you know, you have to tell them the usual step. You have to mostly work on your food, because fat loss is 70% in the kitchen. So the thing is, why would you want to do those short intervals? Hey, are you getting older? Do you have a sex drive problem? Guess what? If you do resistance training and also if you do interval training, you make more testosterone and you make more androgens. And in men and women, those help you with your sex drive. Those help to control your sex drive.
Right.
And when you do high intensity short burst activities, whether you're doing your Tabatas like you like to talk about, or just, you know, those intervals that I do when I do my poppers, or if I do my 20 minutes of full out, I'm going to make growth hormone. And growth hormone makes you youthful. It makes you have nice skin. It makes you have nice muscles. And the more muscle mass you have, not that you have to have, you don't have to have bodybuilder muscle mass, but if you have a decent proportion of muscle mass, let me tell you about muscle mass. Muscle cells, that this is a way you can make more cells in your body, regardless of what's going on with you. When you make more, the more cells you have, the more mitochondria that you have. Mitochondria are the little energy powerhouses of your cells. And they were made from bacteria. They evolved from bacteria, millions of years ago. and they wound up in our cells, inside our cells. In fact, inside the nuclei of our cells, the command center of our cells is full of mitochondria. Mitochondria is where the electron transport chain happens, and that is the energy center of our whole body. And so
it's mission control.
Pretty much. And so these are the energy pods. That's what they are. So they have things in them like coenzyme Q10, which pushes the electron transport chain. Carnitine injects essential fatty acids in them, which the electron transport chain uses as fuel. And so it's a really amazing part of our cells. So if you have more of those cells, you're going to use more energy when you're sitting around, you know, doing a radio show.
Right.
So, so putting on more muscle mass is a good thing. And you'll put on more muscle mass with short, hard activities, whether they are cardio activities or they are resistance training activities. Now, and so I recommend that people who favor cardio as what they want to do. So if you want to use walking as your main form of exercise, that's when I tell you your idea of one day long, one day really, really hard, a couple of days of intervals, and a couple of days of whatever you want, and at least one day of rest, or very, very easy. And could be more than one day of rest, or very, very easy. I do. Right now I'm doing, one day I usually don't have exercise at all. And then one day, at least one day, I go very easy, probably two. So, you know, because I do one day really long and one day really hard.
We did 30-second hard burst sprints today.
Yeah, that's what
really,
I did yesterday.
Really intense, super high intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah,
a good thing
good.
To do.
They're good. They're hard.
Uh-huh.
Really, really hard.
But. Yeah. So, you go as hard as you can for 30 seconds, and then he does them differently than I do because he's in a spin class, so he doesn't give them as much rest, I'm sure. But when I do my intervals, I go really hard, and then I have long rest in between. So I'll do 30 seconds really hard, and then I'll go really, really easy for 2 minutes. And this is something you can do when you're walking, you're on a treadmill, you're running, you're on a bicycle, you're doing squats, whatever you want to do, 30 seconds really hard, and then take it easy for a long time. You know, it doesn't have to be 30 on, 30 off. I think 30 seconds off is not long enough to recover because the longer you rest, the harder you're going to be able to push yourself in terms of, you know, when you do your hard interval. So, and the other nice thing is you have more energy. You make human growth hormone, which is going to help you with youthfulness, and you're going to make IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor, which is going to cause you to grow more muscle mass. And then you'll have these muscles. And when you have more muscle mass, you're just more energetic. You'll find that I noticed, you know, that even though mostly my working out is cycling, I find that when I walk, I have more energy, that I can, you know, I can hightail it from the from the parking garage all the way to here.
I saw you hightailing it this morning.
I was hightailing it.
Yes,
and
you were.
Then, of course, I had to climb the stairs because there was no elevator.
Oh, there wasn't?
No, you didn't even know.
I don't know. I don't use the elevator.
Don't use the elevator. Good for you.
Well, it's only two floors, three floors.
I know. Yeah.
Three floors. And, you know, you can just walk up.
It's true.
And it's quicker than the elevator is.
It's nice.
That's something else to take a look at. You know, take a look at it. If you work on the third floor.
Yes.
Okay. And you think about how long does it take to push the elevator button. That takes no time at all.
Yeah.
But how long does it take for the elevator to arrive after you push the button? Well, on a lucky day, that elevator just happened to just dump people off. So it opens right up, you get in, and there you go. But
right.
What are the chances of that?
Right. It doesn't always. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just go up the stairs. By the time I, you know, get myself up to the top of the stairs, then finally the elevator came, and I don't know. It's better for you. It's much, much better for you. If you're going to a place, an establishment of which to shop, you should not park right next to the front door. You should park a little ways away. Walk there. There's plenty of ways of fitting walking into your lifestyle without it being very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So making more muscle mass is important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I would like to encourage people, whatever you do to make muscle mass is going to be a good thing. And doing even a little. So if you're somebody who prefers cardio as your main form of exercise, so you're a person who walks, I recommend 2 days a week of some kind of resistance training and include core in that. It doesn't have to be for long. You can do half an hour. And if you have a nice set of exercises to do, you can be done in half an hour. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to spend a lot of time at it. You're just going to have to do some stuff with some intensity and keep moving. But you can get a lot done in half an hour. And, you know, you can do a good bit of core, enough core to keep you steady. You know, and doing core is really important. So incorporating core and doing compound exercises is the most important thing when you're doing resistance training. So you don't want to just be isolating muscles. You want to you want to have a good strong core, and you want core to be part of everything you do. So even if you're doing bicep curls, you do a squat with it and you hold it, and you're going to hold your core while you're doing your bicep curls. But also doing specific core exercises like planks is a really good thing to do. Whether you're doing planks give you a lot of benefit. Just a good old plank. I mean, you can do a lot of exotic things. You can do exotic planks where you lift up one leg, and you can do planks where you go on your side. You can do planks where you do jumping jacks with the plank. You can do all kinds of exotic things. But, you know, if you do a basic plank on your elbows and just hold it, start by holding it for as long as you can. If 10 seconds is all you can do, so hold it for 10 seconds. And then work your way up till you get up to, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute, longer if you want to. But holding that plank, you get a lot of bang for your buck. The other one you get a lot of bang for your buck is bicycles. That's bicycles on your back, you know, where you're kicking out one leg. And the way to do bicycles, now here I am, I'm going to explain it to you over the radio, but is to lie on your back, and to your knees don't have to come to your nose. They can come halfway up your body, so that when your knee is bent, your leg is perpendicular to your body. So they're just, you just come halfway. It's actually more important that you go slow, and that when your leg comes down, that you hold it for a beat. So, and that you hold your leg above the ground and hold it for a little bit. So, like I said, I think you lose form when you try to, you know, to turn your head side to side and bring your knee to your nose. That's not necessary. You just bring it about halfway up to your body and then send it out and hold it easy and let your knees go back and forth. That, and there's a lot of bang for your buck there, because you get your rectus abdominis, you get your obliques, you get the little muscles underneath, and you're going to be less likely to have back pain with that, and whether you're a cyclist or whether you're anybody. So those are really important things to do. Sex drive, let me tell you that sex drive will improve. It tends to improve when you do resistance training. And in fact, you make testosterone in the course of a workout. So if you want to have a fun night, move some furniture early in the day or do resistance training early in the day, and you'll actually make more testosterone for later. And by the way, if you do a short, hard cardio workout, so you do a short workout where you do Tabatas, you might have more sex drive later that day, because again, you produce your human growth hormone, your insulin-like growth factor, and your testosterone, and you're going to tend to have more. It improves your sex drive, as I said. So having a stable core is really important, and doing your resistance training regularly is really important. And when you have muscle mass, you have more metabolically active tissue, so you will feel like you have more energy. It's a really good thing. So, yes, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything.
Oh.
I was just trying to, one of the things about, you know, one of those blue zones, the place in California is the home of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Oh,
you know,
and they're vegetarians.
They're vegetarians, or mostly vegetarians.
There are vegetarians and there are vegetarians.
Yeah.
Because you can be a vegetarian and overstarch, and you can be a vegetarian and eat a lot of produce. Vegetarian, you know, doesn't necessarily equal healthy. So it depends on how you're being a vegetarian. If you're eating if you're a vegetarian, you're basically eating lots and lots of produce, you know, lots of leafy greens and your berries and cherries, and you're eating beans and you're eating nuts and seeds, and you're limiting your starch, and you're eating small quantities of dairy or no dairy at all, that's great. That can be a really healthy lifestyle. Some people need the animal protein. Not everybody does. Some people can live happy, healthy lives and not eat animal protein. My belief is that you should eat the diet that works for you, the diet that makes you happy and healthy. And if you're not going to be happy eating animal protein, then you shouldn't. However, if you come into me and you're not eating animal protein and you're eating a wonderfully healthy diet, I mean, usually that's not what you usually see. If somebody is a vegetarian and they're eating lots of produce and they're eating beans and nuts and seeds, and usually they're going to be healthy. Once in a while, you'll see somebody who, even though they're doing everything right, they don't feel well. So you might suggest that they eat animal protein. But usually people come in vegetarians. They're taking the easy way out and they're eating, you know, they're eating bars and chips and they're overstarching and they're not eating enough produce. And that's something I commonly see. And so you vegetarians out there, eat your veggies. You paleo people out there, eat your veggies.
Right.
You regular people out there who don't follow a particular plan, eat your veggies. Message is the same.
Right. It's always the same.
Yeah.
The Seventh-day Adventists, I'm just reading about this, and it says that God calls them to care for their bodies.
Oh, that's nice.
That's part of their belief, treating them with the respect that the divine creation deserves. Gluttony and excess, even of something good, can be detrimental to their health.
Uh huh.
So it's their key to wellness lies in a balance of life, balance of life and temperance. So
right.
So there it is. It's that, you know, stress-free living. You know, eat right, get exercise.
Well, when I went to Oregon. I went to National College of Naturopathic Medicine. There was a Seventh-day Adventist hospital there, and it was close to the school, and we could go to the, you go eat in the cafeteria, and they had nice vegetarian food there. They have an acronym in the Seventh-day Adventist called New Start. So if you follow New Start, New Start is basically naturopathic medicine 101. If you follow New Start, you're going to have a lovely, happy, healthy life. So here's what New Start is.
Okay.
I've run through this before. New Start is nutrition. So if you eat good, if you eat, you know, healthy food, if you eat a lot of veggies, and in the Seventh-day Adventist, as you said, they want you to be a vegetarian. But, you know, I don't necessarily believe you should be a vegetarian, but you want to eat a healthful diet. Nutrition, that's number one. Next, E is for exercise. Get regular exercise. Tone your muscles. Move your body. There's some arguments about exercise lately, how exercise doesn't actually help you lose weight. The truth is it is, and the truth is it is, the 70% is in the kitchen, because we know a lot of chubby cyclists, right?
We do.
Yeah. Because people think that because they exercise so much, that gives them a pass to eat whatever they want. And you could eat whatever you want, but you have to see what results you get from that, right?
Yeah.
So you have to eat so you get to your happy weight, your happy, healthy weight, whatever that is. And 70% of that is in the kitchen. Just because you're riding, you know, hundreds of miles, I've seen I've seen cyclists and triathletes and stuff eat diets that I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
They eat strangely. Sometimes they overstarch. Sometimes they just don't eat produce. Sometimes they just eat strange. You know, they eat too many like technical foods, like too many protein powders and gels, and they don't eat real food.
Right.
So you'll see stuff like that. So just because you're exercising doesn't give you a pass to do whatever you want. Doesn't give you a pass to eat five Reese's either.
And then you see the ones that just eat and eat and eat and eat. And then they get large.
Right. And they do.
Biggest eye-opener to me is the year that I did the Boston Marathon, you have to, you take a bus out of downtown Boston. You kind of leave your stuff in downtown Boston, and then you take a bus out to Hopkinton to come in. And I'm sitting on this bus, and all these people are there, and they're all talking about the marathon they did last month and the marathon they did the month before, the next one they're doing the next month. And they're all huge. They're large people, very large people.
Yeah.
And they're doing a marathon every single month.
Yeah.
But they were also large.
Long cardio.
They were not of the long, lean kind of look that
most
marathon runners portray, or you would think that they would portray.
It's the long cardio, and they're not doing their nutrition right. So exercise isn't the main thing that will help you lose weight, but it's a thing that fine tunes, and it is necessary to your health. If you're not moving much, that's very bad for you. It's kind of like, how shall we say this? If you want to be at a lower weight, you do have to eat less in an environment of hormonal balance. That has to happen. And exercise will only go so far in helping that, but it will help that, and you will have more success with your fat loss if you exercise. And why is that? Because exercise makes your body more efficient. It's kind of like if you have a car and all you do is you put really good gas in it, you put premium gas in it, but you never maintain it, and you don't take it for oil changes, and you don't fix things when they go wrong, and you don't replace parts when they go bad, your car is eventually going to run out, and it's going to run really inefficiently. You're just the same. So the exercise is kind of like tuning your body up. If you take your car and you put in more cylinders, it's going to make it more efficient. It's going to burn gas. Well, it's not, it doesn't make it more efficient. It makes it faster. You're going to get more cylinders so that you're going to have more stuff in it that makes you go fast. Well, likewise, if you add muscle mass to your body, the adding of the muscle mass may not give you a lot of calories, but because you have more cells, you're going to need more fuel to make that go. And if you eat about the same amount of fuel, you're going to start burning fat as a fuel. So that's how that works. So you're basically, when you exercise, you're tuning your body up to make it more efficient. You're improving detoxification. You're improving circulation. So everything just works better. And you'll have more muscle cells. And the more muscle cells you have, the higher metabolism will be and the more efficiently your body will run. So say, I can't eat much more than 2,000 calories a day. When I approach 2,000 calorie, I'm already feeling like, oh, that was too much. Just because I'm 52 years old and there's only so much I can eat. Even though there are days when I'll go out and I'll burn more than 2,000 calories in a day on a bike ride, but I can still barely eat that many calories. So what that will do for me is it'll put me in a bit of a deficit, and I'll wind up burning more fat. And I spent that time just cleaning out the pipes, just cleaning out my body. And doing something like that, though, I shouldn't do more than once a week anyway. So exercise is really good for so many things. It just makes your body run more efficiently. It makes you happy. It's good for your neurotransmitters. It's good for mood. And it's going to make you, because you're happier, you're going to be more likely to stick to some sort of a diet plan and get your nutrition right. Okay, so the W is water. So we're a new start, right? The W is water.
Okay.
You should drink a lot of water. Your body's 70% water. Water is part of your blood. It's part of your sweat. It's part of all the fluids in your body, your mucus, your urine, your feces. All of your cells need hydration. Water, water, water. It's so, so important. Mm-hmm. So drinking a lot of water is important. So we're talking about water, not just in terms of drinking it, but in terms of being in it, being near it. So having rain coming down so that your garden grows better. Just being near water when you exercise, going and exercising on water in a boat, or going swimming in water, bathing in water, using water for healing, using hydrotherapy, hot and cold baths or applications of water is also very healing. All very good for your circulation. When you ingest water, it makes everything work better, and it provides substance to your body. When you drink water and when you use water as an application, it improves your circulation and health and healing. Sunlight. So new start. So you're piling on that sunscreen, right? Well, you need a little bit of sunlight. There are some wonderful things that the sun does. And being careful with sunscreen is a good idea. I mean, if you don't want to get a sunburn, it's a good idea to use an oxybenzone-free sunscreen where you're getting your sunscreens. It's a good idea to have them have something like micronized zinc or titanium dioxide and then lots of nice ingredients in it that excludes things like lauryl sulfates and bad stuff like that. But getting no sunlight is bad for you. The sun is important. The sun helps you make melatonin, serotonin, thyroid hormone, and vitamin D, all things which help you to be happy, healthy, to sleep well, to have a good immune system. The sun is antimicrobial. It kills microorganisms. So never being out in the sun is not good for you. So that's the S in sunlight. In New Start. The T is temperance, using good things moderately and avoiding bad stuff. Moderation in all things. Don't do anything too extreme. So even, you know, we're talking about, go as hard as you can once a week and go as long as you can once a week. Did you hear the once a week part?
Oh, yeah.
If you're going as hard as you can all the time or as long as you can all the time, that's not good for you.
No.
So that's where temperance comes in. So you have to balance working very hard with rest. That's about temperance. If you can be happy and healthy and have some alcohol. You know, and alcohol in moderation can be good for you. If you have, especially if red wine, if you have stuff with flavonoids in it, even just plain old alcohol of your choice seems to be good for cardiovascular health. So you use temperance. You don't do anything too much. You know, it's like Michael Pollan says, eat food. Not too much, mostly plants. All right.
It's a good thing.
Air is the A in New Start. You have to breathe. Breathing is important. And if you're breathing inefficiently, you won't oxygenate your body well. And learning breathing techniques is a good thing. That's why you have yoga. That's why you have breath work. That's why you have fresh air going outside. That's why you have being in the wind. In fresh air is very important. Having good air quality is important in your house. If there are reasons why there's air quality issues, getting filters, getting rid of carpeting, making sure that the air that you're breathing is very pure, and working on climate change so that you don't have pollution in the air is very important. So that we can all oxygenate. In order for us to have green plants, we have to have proper amounts of carbon dioxide in the air, and we have to not have pollution, or else the plants will die. So air is one of the important parts of New Start. You're never going to guess what the R in New Start is.
Rest.
It's the R word.
Did I get it?
Rest, 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 rest.
I got
rest.
It.
Yes. So if you work really hard, you should rest really good. And getting regular rest is good. Getting rest during the day. If you can take a nap. Oh, I don't need a nap. You don't? Yes, you do. Don't be proud of that. If you think, oh, I don't rest. I only get four hours of sleep a night and I'm fine. No, you're not. You're just not, okay? Face it, you're not. Arianna Huffington wrote a great book where she talks about the benefits of sleep, and she now gets 9 hours of sleep a night. And didn't you say one of those basketball players gets 9 hours?
It's like Kobe Bryant or something.
Yeah, gets 9 hours of sleep a night. And that's another recipe for good performance in exercise. So getting adequate rest. And so I like to mention rest in terms of, so if you're in the middle of a workout, you're pushing very hard, you have rests in between your very hard intervals. You have hard days and easy days. And you should have hard days and easy days in your life and in your day. It's really good to have breaks in your day. And, you know, like I tell my patients, I have patients who are landscapers. I tell them to do intervals in terms of their landscaping. So you do a task, you push yourself really hard, you take a 5-minute break. Then you go to the next task and you take another break. The more that you rest, the harder you're going to be able to push yourself and the healthier you're going to be. You have to remember that the sympathetic nervous system is divided into fight or flight and also rest and digest. And so the Rest and digest can't work if you're always doing fight or flight, and you need your rest so that you can repair yourself and repair your body. It's a very good thing for you. So rest, rest, rest. Rest is one of the most important things in life. Americans don't rest enough. We don't take enough vacation. We work too hard. We don't rest at the end of the day the way we should. Rest, it's super important. And then the final T is trust in divine power. And so, of course, the Adventists have they're spiritual and they believe in God. So spirituality, you know, trust in divine power, that's kind of up to you. You can be an atheist and still have trust in something bigger than you, in holistic community, in helping each other as far as humanity goes. And if you do believe there's, and you can also not believe in God, but have a spiritual path in that we are all connected, and you can still pray and not necessarily believe in one deity. So divine power can look so many different ways, but to trust that there's something greater than you, than just you, and feel connected to a community and the world at large, is very healing and very helpful, and it makes it so that you feel like you want to help make the world a better place. So it's not just a good place for you, it's a good place for everyone. And that's New Start. And I repeat New Start periodically. You brought it up because you brought up the Seventh-day Adventists, but New Start is basic naturopathic medicine. All if you follow New Start, you can have a very happy, healthy life.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we talked about, I really wanted to talk about the importance of resistance training and how it's a good idea to build your muscle cells.
Yes.
And then we talked about that summer cold, and now we talked about New Start. And those blue zones and rest.
And, you know, Kobe Bryant used to get 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night.
Right.
And then he changed. He went to 8 to 9 hours a night.
Right. And Arianna Huffington did the same thing.
Yeah, Arianna Huffington was doing the same thing.
And she wrote a book about it.
Yep.
So good for her.
So
I'm very proud
of her. That's a thing. Apparently it's a thing.
Yes.
If you can find the time to sleep that long.
Yes. And
that's another thing.
It's something we have to work on because we're not very good at it.
No, we are not very good at it.
So. All right, so you've been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. I am Fran Storch. This has been Radio Naturopath. We thank you so much for listening to our show for the last hour. And we won't be here next week because we'll be on the Cape, and we'll tell you about our journeys on the Cape in 2 weeks. Kat will be filling in for us, either playing some music or giving you a good talk.
Yay, Kat.
And we will be back next week in 2 weeks on 22nd, on June 22nd, for more Radio Naturopath.